Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Since the beginning of the pandemic, face coverings have become a point of political contention for many Americans. Perhaps masking up should have been easy in South Dakota, but it just wasn't. Kevin Wooster writes about U.S. Senator Mike Rounds and his comments about masks and common sense. You can read Wooster's thoughts on our website at sdpb.org/Wooster. And Kevin joins us today. Hey, Kevin, welcome back. Thanks for being here.
Hey, Lori, it's always good to be back. And hey, I enjoyed your comment about radio and how we sometimes don't stop to think about the impacts and how much it matters. It's been around for, what, 100 years, 120 years?
Yeah.
You know, when I'm pitching a story to somebody, I'm to the stage in my career now where some people that I pitch stories to don't know who the heck I am. And that's kind of a difficult process to go through, but I would tell them, you know, I write this blog, and they go, you can kind of tell their eyes go, okay, on South Dakota Public Broadcasting's website. And they go, oh, okay. And then I say, and I discuss the blog each week with Lori Walsh on public radio. And then they go, okay. So
radio.
Radio, sweet.
Yeah.
And you know, I used to feel like the same thing when I'd say I had a radio, you know, I was a newspaper reporter. I felt like that meant something to somebody. And radio means something to people. It really does. And I think that sometimes gets lost in this, all the technology and the communication forms we have, that there's still this fundamental baseline of meaningful communications, and radio's right in the middle of it. So
yeah.
I'm with you.
Yeah, that's I could research that all year and write about it. That's my book. All right. Well,
yes.
Like, yes, radio in South Dakota. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about, and this is one of the things that I think you can only do on radio, is just two people having a conversation about stuff that's been happening in our lives while a whole bunch of people listen about stuff that's been happening in their lives too, and then the conversation continues. We're going to talk about Mike Rounds and Governor Noem and masking in South Dakota, and you chose to write about Rounds at this time. Why? What was sort of the prompting to say, it's time for me to do this story and turn the gaze toward Senator Rounds?
Well, I've been critical of Senator Rounds and Senator Thune, you know, on some votes, on certain votes on Supreme Court nominees and the way that was handled with one and not the other and things like that. And I've written about different things. And I, you know, in the position I'm in now, I sit here at the computer and I go through stuff, you know, all the things that come in, and I try to read all the columns that the congressional people send out and the governor sends out, and I try to read the press releases. And a lot of times, nothing in there really inspires me, but occasionally something will. And I was going through the Rounds column on the importance, why he was going to get the vaccine and why it was important that he promoted the vaccine and people, you know, step up and take it. And down a ways in it, he said, but in the meantime, let's remember to do common sense things. And he talked about hand sanitizing and keeping distance and being responsible. And, you know, he has a wife that he writes about, Jean, that's fighting sarcoma, hopefully successfully. We wish her well. And the need to be really especially careful to protect her. And in the middle of that common sense part, he said, and wear your darn mask when it makes sense. And I thought to myself, first of all, I love the wear your darn mask part of it, South Dakota style. But I thought it encapsulates something, that the message that we've been trying to get over in so many ways. Wear your darn mask when it's appropriate, when it matters, when it protects you, and especially when it protects others. And so I thought, okay, let's look at this a little deeper, and away we went.
Yeah, it's kind of, to me, it says, it's not that hard. It doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
How in the world did it get to be such a complicated thing? Because really, when I go back and I listen to some of the earliest conversations we had on the show, because people say, well, you know, the science was emerging and the policies changed. And here in South Dakota, the doctors that were coming to talk to us, Kevin, right away were saying, don't go out and buy the N95. Leave those for the healthcare providers. If you have those, donate them. You know, let's cover the mask shortage. But sew your own. I mean, that was early. We knew that the science of masks was a really good idea. And that the doctors have been on this program every week since March. nobody's ever wavered on that. Yeah, how did it become so complicated to where putting one on, if you're an elected official, was an act of, you know, political statesmanship?
Yeah, in my secondary part-time journalist life, I still write a column for the FC Journal periodically. And the recent column there, I referred to masks and how they became napalm to this discussion. They just dropping these napalm bombs all over on the mask arguments. I'm an emergency room doctor's son and an emergency room doctor daughter-in-law, and obviously they're big on masks. They're not sending me any mixed messages there on masks, and health professionals are. And the thing I loved about the way Rounds framed it, wear your darn mask, was just what you said. It's so silly to be having these battles over this when it's so simple and so reasonable and so meaningful in the way we address this pandemic.
Mm-hmm. What can go ahead.
And my glasses fog up along with everybody else's when it gets cold. I walk into Safeway or to buy groceries. I don't like that. I'm forced, but I get a choice, put my glasses in my pocket for a while and not see very well, or keep my glasses on and see through a little hole here and there. But it's so silly to worry about things like that.
Yeah. How much of this has been messaging, you know, from the beginning, even the Department of Health messaging, you mentioned in your piece that, you know, when you watch those commercials, if you see them, they don't even mention masks. It was, you know, there's a few little characters in the background who are wearing them, but not everybody is wearing them. Not everybody who's outside is wearing, not everyone who's close to somebody else is wearing them. It's just sort of, so decisions were made early on for how this would be talked about in the state.
Yeah, somebody told somebody, we're not saying wear your mask. I didn't think that happened by accident. And because it's just a natural part of it, is the way Rounds framed it, with sanitize, keep your distance, wash your hands, and wear your mask. And that's the last part that's not included in that state message. And you can talk to people in the state health department and they'll say, oh yeah, I wear a mask, it's a good idea. But the well-played public service ad has masks in the background, doesn't have those words, wear your mask. And I don't know, maybe the governor has said it, but I don't remember her saying it. I, when asked, she'll sometimes say, I've worn masks, I think, or that's fine. And then she'll say, but the science is mixed. And so even the message we get from the state health department, which I think is full of responsible, science-based people, has that thing missing. And so I brought that up again. And again, I've written, Governor, I'm not telling you to impose a mask mandate. I'm just telling you to model a little bit of responsible mask behavior. Wear it and say wear it when it's appropriate. If you want to tell people, use your common sense, you're adults, wear it when it's right, say that. But to just have that as a missing component when it's a central part of it in every reasonable discussion about COVID-19 and how to slow the spread, it stuns me. And I wonder if it is just a simple case of stubbornness.
Let's talk a little bit about then, as we see, the Electoral College met on Monday and certified, the electors voted and certified the election. It's this long, drawn-out process that we didn't necessarily think was a long, drawn-out process. But in 2020, I think everybody has followed that process a little more closely than they have in the past, it's safe to say. And, you know, we've watched and listened to Senator John Thune and Senator Mike Rounds, Congressman Dusty Johnson, Governor Kristi Noem, these people that we look to for leadership, navigate this in a very public way, including on Twitter and Parler and other places. What are some of your thoughts about watching that unfold and the challenges that they face? Where have they stumbled? Where have they been successful? What are some of your early thoughts on that?
Well, I think Governor Noem, who is a huge fan of Donald Trump's, and the feeling is mutual, I think her process has been pretty easy, going with what Donald says. And that seems to be not just to make Donald happy, but I'm maybe that's her belief. I don't know. It's been very complicated for the other prominent statewide politicians we're talking about, the congressional delegation, in that I don't think any of them agree that the Trump way is the way to go. And in many things, including, you know, this issue, including obviously the election. And so they are trying, and you can just to be as responsible as they can without calling in the hordes of feverish Trumpists who are already calling their offices every day and complaining that they're not doing enough to support the president. So in this column, I kind of touch on that, who I think we can all express, or many of us, at least I have expressed disappointment, that the three of them, and I know them pretty well, haven't expressed their feelings more forthrightly and been a little stronger in it. But as I said in there, it's easy for me to say, sitting in my den 1,600 miles away from Washington, D.C., not running for anything, and not having to answer phone calls from angry Trump supporters every day, every day. Mm-hmm. That complicates your life. So it's difficult, and I think you see them trying to find a way to navigate through all that. And I am sympathetic, even as I encourage them to be more statesmanlike.
What about Senator Thune saying, at this point, it's just time to face the music? I mean, when it, I didn't see him say it, I just read the words, but if I were saying that out loud, I would have a tone of exasperation in my voice. Do you think, knowing him like you do, the language that he used, do you sense a sense of weariness and a let's move on, people? Kind of wear your darn mask, acknowledge the darn election. We have other things to do. What do you read between the lines there?
He wants to say, for heaven's sakes, with all the crucial issues and the life and death concerns and the monetary challenges and the very basic human needs, legislation we have to face and deal with, stop this. But of course he can't, because they're going to get threatened with primary opponents, and I'm sure all of them will have primary opponents next time around from the Trump side of things. And so you see the frustration. I think you see it in John Thune every time he stands behind Mitch McConnell and they have to do the kabuki dance, we're trying to live within our value system and still survive in the era of Trump. And boy, when you're in their positions, that's a tough spot to be in.
Mm. Trying to lead in the time of COVID and in the time of political division and time of social media, it becomes more difficult every day, it seems. But yet, that's what leadership is. Where do I lead right now? So anyway, we'll talk more about this later. Sometimes we get more questions than answers. But hey, that's radio, Kevin Wooster. Thanks for being here.
Can't beat it.